the sugya, this is very much a brach sugya, unlike some of the other sugyas we've learned. This is a real resume. So the Gemara begins on the Bams on the Yom of Days. The Gemara picks up something that is intriguing about a little bit earlier, six lines from the bottom of the Yom of Days, Gufa. Gufa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, to the end of the line, Gufa, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Yitzhak, Amar Yechanan, Shemen Zayis, Mevarech Elab Bar, Priyayitz. In case anyone's interested in eating olive oil, so the correct brach on olive oil is a bar pre-eitz. So the question says, what's the case? If you don't eat, so ilay, because shasilay, if a person's drinking straight olive oil, the Gemara says, nah, that's not going to be a bar pre-eitz. The zuke maziklay, that's a mazik, that's destructive. So shayal and rishonim, I mean, it's destructive to the olive oil, destructive to the body, or a combination of the two. So there, clearly the brach is not going to be a bar pre-eitz. What would the bracha be? So Rashi has an interesting comment. Rashi says the bracha would be nothing. And Rashi says, Hazuki mazik legufe, the ainzo achila should do a bracha, they got the bracha be a chaltik sir. Rashi says that just as brachas on mozon, which is of course the bracha de araisa, the Torah, which is a prerequisite, has to be a mice achila, so too by brachas anenim, which is only the rabbonim, because the tikkur body came de araisa, be good, it has to be a mice achila. Something that's damaging to the person's body is not called a mice achila. I don't know how that would play out in terms of other kinds of unhealthy foods, but we'll leave it at that. But if a person eats, I mean, knock out three quarters of the week today, it was Mada Ramazik. But the mice Rashi says if a person eats olive oil straight, there's not going to be any brach at all. And then the Gemara goes on to prove to you that eating olive oil is considered to be something which is out of the ordinary, and therefore wouldn't warrant a brach. How do we know that? What's the source for this idea that eating olive oil straight is not exactly healthy? The sign that we learned in the Brayis says, "Shos Hashemun Shaltruma, Misham Es Hakeren Ve'Ena Misham Es Hachomesh." Asach Shemun Shaltruma, Misham Es Hakeren Ve'Misham Es Hachomesh. If a non-Kohen eats truma by mistake, Mishogeg, so he has to pay for the value of the truma as well as an additional fifth of the Tukun Parshas Tamor. So if a person drinks olive oil of truma, he would not have to pay chomesh, because that's not considered to be eating, it's not considered to be normal. Whereas if he smears it on his body, so we have a rule called tzicha kishtiya, that is considered to be like the equivalent of drinking it, and you would have to pay. So again, for our purposes, we're just trying to prove that having olive oil plain is not normal. So the Gemara says, so it must be al dika ochale de pas. So it must be that when the Gemara said to make a bar braised in olive oil, there must be eating the olive oil together with bread. That can't be the case either, because ochale pas ikar. So then the bread would always be the ikar, the olive oil would be the tofel. You have to smear your olive oil spread onto bread. That would be ikar betofel. It's not within the mission, that cloud. Whenever you have an ikar betofel, you always make the brach on the main ingredient, the main food, which in this case would be the bread, and the olive oil would be pater. So we have this grandiose statement of Shmuel that says that the correct brach on olive oil is aitz. One small technical detail, we have absolutely no idea what the case is. Eating it straight, no brach at all. Eating it with bread, it's a motzi. So what was the case? Elva de kashasile de anigron. The Gemara says it must be that you're having olive oil together with some other kinds of foods in a way that the olive oil will be the ikar. What kind of food is that? Whoever heard of such a food? The Gemara says you're having it together with anigron. And what in the world is anigron? Namarabah shmoh. Anigron is maya de silka. That a nigron is some kind of a dish that's made up primarily of juice, selic extract. Now I know that in modern Hebrew they use selic as beets. I can't tell you for certain what the selic chazal we're talking about, was some kind of a vegetable. Or the Gemara talks about another kind of a dish, and sigron is maya dekula shalke. It's the extract of other kinds of vegetables, and apparently you would mix together olive oil into this delicious food. So the Gemara says, oh, that must be what Shmuel meant when he said, Yimei Chabar Pre'etz. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Okay, on the top of Lamvam, Vinalav, Havala, and Nigra, Nigra, Vishem, and Dofo, back to square one. That if you're only putting the olive oil in just to complement this other food, so then we have a rule, Tanan Zeklav, Hosha, Iker, and Tfeila, Vavarach, Iker, and Tfeila. You always make the bracha, the ikar, never on the tafel. So we're about 0 for 3. We have no idea what is the case of making a bar pre-eitz in olive oil. So Gemara finally discovers the case. Hachem ha'eskinan, we're dealing with the following. B'cheshish b'grona, we're talking about a person whose throat is bothering him. And if a person's throat is bothering him, so then it's considered to be normal to mix together olive oil with these other kinds of vegetable extracts. The sign of relinquishment. If a person has the throat is bothering him, he should not just use oil plain on Shabbos, because that would be a violation of refuah. there's a prohibition mid the rabbanon that you're not allowed to do any kind of medicine on Shabbos or Yom Tov unless the person is a real bona fide chayla. Even chol she'ein b'sakad is allowed to take medicine, but if he's just what's called the michash bi'alma, his throat hurts, his stomach hurts, his head hurts, he's scratching a little bit, so then he's not allowed to take medicine. The reason for that gezeir was we're afraid that the olden days medicine was always prepared through grinding up herbs, so we're afraid lest the person violate the isur of toichim. Hopefully on Sunday morning we'll get to that at some point. I can't tell exactly how long, but at some point we'll get to that. So there's an issa b'dir abundant of taking medicines on Shabbos, like the most post given that issa still applies b'zman hazeh, even though we generally don't grind up our own medicines. That's again another whole other story. So the Braisa says that a person shouldn't just stop devour olive oil plain on Shabbos, because that's more medicinal. But if you mix it together with this anigro, with this other kinds of foods, so that would be okay on Shabbos, because then it looks like more like a food, and it's less, it resembles a medicine, it resembles more of a food. So the Gemara says that must be the case, that the person is mixing together the olive oil together with other kinds of foods, even though based on the regular rules of Ikar V'Tofel, we probably would have said that the other foods are the Ikar, but since he is clearly doing it for the purpose of medicine, so that automatically that gives significance to the olive oil, and therefore the olive oil is considered to be the Ikar. So Baruch Hashem, we discovered a case. He's not eating plain olive oil, and he's not putting it on top of bread. He's eating olive oil together with other kinds of foods, but the goal is for medicinal purposes, and therefore the bracha is on the ikar, the olive oil being the ikar. So it's pshita. It's obvious. Of course, the olive oil is the ikar. Now, mal detaim, I would have thought, given the refuah kamechamin, l'levrach leklal, I would have thought that since he's eating it for medical purposes, there should be no bracha. Kamash balan, kem distan nominei by bruchei. Therefore, kamash balan, that there is a bracha no matter what. Because at the end of the day, he is benefiting from it, and he is enjoying it. You get a little bit of a good taste to it. So therefore, even though his primary intent is medicine, he does recite a bracha. Adkan Divrei Gemara. Now we have to see what din and what halachas can we extract from the sugya as we begin really the next main sugya, and that's brachas on medicines. Brachas on medicines, brachas on food, eating for medicinal purposes. What is the status of brachas as it relates to medicines? So from our Gemara it seems pretty clear that even though there was a havamina that anything that's eaten for medical purposes, there's no bracha at all. That's the verse of Lola Bracha, like klal. The Kamash Balan is not the way. The Kamash Balan is, if you derive Hanah from it, then yes. Now again, the person takes two Talanos, so it's not all that much Hanah getting from the Talanos. Obviously, you're not going to make a bracha. But if a person would take, let's say, some sweet and yummy, delicious, candy-coated child's medicine or something, so he, although he's doing it for medical purposes, but he is enjoying what he's getting, then somebody has to make a bracha. I remember, I'm trying to think about what a modern-day food. I remember as a kid.
Pollutants.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Professor, that's a real. I was thinking back of that. And if you remember this thing they used to call it aspirin gum? Do you remember that when you were little? It was basically for kids who wouldn't take aspirin, but they did like to chew gum. So basically, what they did is they took some aspirin, they put it into some piece of gum or something, and they put some coating on it. It tasted delicious. It was probably trash, but we used to have it when we were a kid all the time. So, but my mother would never give it to me just now because I wanted to chew gum. So if you don't give it to me, I had a sore throat. So, or at least I told her that I had a sore throat. So if you're doing it primarily for your sore throat, but the mice, it's tasting good. So the Nag Gemara says, the mice, you make a bracha on it. So it's pretty clear for this Gemara that you make a bracha.
If you take a pill and you want to drink water, you don't make a bracha.
Water is a different story as I drink my water.
It's only water. It's not the fact that you're taking something because you don't really need it and you're just doing it to...
No, okay, so what is the whole difference? So water, the Gemara says the Feirish, the Mishnah says later on, the only make a sign of bracha on water if it shows some ayam with tzimo. If you're thirsty, then you recite a bracha on water. If you're not thirsty, you're just drinking water to wash something down, so then one does not recite a bracha.
The word hanah in the Gemara is referring to like taste bud hanah, not other kinds of hanah.
I think so. So again, so we can extract din number one. The simple din from Gemara is notwithstanding the havamina that there's no bracha on anything eaten for medicine. Kamash one of the thirds.
I'm sorry, one last question. Not everybody likes olive oil. Some people actually don't like olive oil. And the Gemara is specific saying it's refuah. So is there a chilus between if you really didn't like olive oil?
The guy really is miserable about it. He does not get any hanah from it. Right. Right,
so stomach. Hanah from it.
No, but hanah here means taste. That's what Rashi says explicitly. Levad harafua yesh lo hanah sechila. If he doesn't get hanah from fuss, what is he doing it for? Right. So there's a second din that we have to extract from Megamar, and that's a little bit more controversial. Not only do you recite a bracha on a food that's eaten for medical purposes, but you recite the bracha, namely the bracha ruya, the correct specific bracha. We know Chazal instituted that not only also the other halachos know that we bracha, as we already spent much time earlier this year talking about, Chazal instituted very specific brachas. There's ketzim of bracha today about per, ketzim bracha peiros, peiros ilan, peiros adama, hamotzi, etc. Again, there are specific brachas. So it's clear from the Gemara that even though you're eating this olive oil for medical purposes, not only do you recite a bracha, but you recite the very, very specific bracha of, in this case, being bar praise. Now, presumably, we can extrapolate to anything else. If I eat anything else for medical purposes, not only do I make a bracha, I recite the bracha as well. So why do I think that is startling? Why do I make a point of that? Because there is another Gemara that seems to contradict that, and that's the Gemara that appears on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Let's jump ahead a little bit. Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. It's right smack in the middle of the... It's right smack in the middle of the page. The first one line is B'mosayu. By the dot at the end of the line, the first one line is B'mosayu, a little bit above, halfway down. Shasisa. So Gemara is talking about Shasisa. Shasisa, Rashi explains, is a Maichal also be Kemach Kloyos, Shenis Yavshu B'taner B'ocha Shibon Lachim. It's made out of flour, like almost like parched, like toasted flour. And the question is, what bracha do you recite on this? So, Shasisa, Rav Amar Shahakol Nia Bidvaro, Ushmuel Amar Bermanem Mizonus. So Shmuel Shita makes a lot of sense that it's Mizonus, because it was made out of flour. Everybody knows, whatever comes from the Chameshas Minei Dovin, from the five species, wheat, barley, etc., one recites Mizonus. So why in the world would Rav say you recite a Shahakol? So Gemara goes on to explain what the issue is. It's not a machlekes. Haba ova, haba rakwa. It depends how thick the shasis is. If it's a very, very thick shasisa, then the bracha is mezonos. If it's a very, very thin, liquidy, almost a watery kind of shasisa, then the bracha is going to be shahakol. So the Gemara says, what's the issue? Why should that be? So the Gemara continues. Ova liachila avdila. Rakwa lirafuaka avdila. If it's ova, if it's a thick shasisa, it looks like a pasty shasisa, so that people are eating as eating. Then the bracha is mezonos, like any other food made from the five species of grain. But if you're having it as a liquidy kind of a shasisa, so the goal is the refuah, you're having it only for medical purposes, not a normal food, you wouldn't sit down at a restaurant and eat liquidy shasisa. So clearly this is on prescription, on doctor's orders, and therefore the bracha goes down to a shahakol. So if you just walk away from this Gemara Daf Lamed Ches, what conclusion can you draw? That anything that's being eaten as refuah, so we're not going to go so far as like the Habamim of Agamara say make no bracha at all. Well, that's not true. Because at the end of the day, you are being net, in addition to the medicinal benefit, you're getting a taste benefit. But since that taste benefit is really ultimately, your real goal, your real agenda is B'taras refuah, so therefore the bracha is going to go down a notch, and rather than reciting what we call the bracha protis, the specific bracha, is going to be more of a bracha klolus. You have a general bracha, the general bracha being the bracha of shahakol. Shahakol is good for everything. So therefore Chazal instituted food that's eaten for medicine purposes, the bracha goes out to shahakol. So all the Rishon Vav, the bomb, gosh, it's a steer galuya. The Gemara Daf Lamed Vav says that olive oil that's eaten for medicine, the bracha remains the same, mechabar parates. The Gemara Daf Lamed Ches talks about shasisa, that is the medicine, too blatantly, the Gemara says all of a sudden the bracha goes down to shahakol. So what's pshat? What is the beer though? What's the answer? What's the difference between the olive oil and the shasisa?
In the olive oil, you're not changing the tzura of the olive oil. Here you're changing the tzura of it's not.
Okay, so Eyud is already almost picking up on the dekuta that when the Gemara says that shasisa raka is shahakol. And the Gemara tells us that people do it for a fuah. What are two ways of understanding that line anymore? We just read that Gemara. Let's go back again to Lamed Ches. The Gemara says explicitly that Amar Rav Chisda lo pligi, haba ava baracha, ava leachila avdila, raka lefuaka avdila. Eyal's going to tell us, what are the two ways of reading that line? Raka lefuaka avdila.
It's not done for any other purpose. You would never eat it raka if it were not for a fuah. A normal person would only eat it ava.
Okay, okay.
For Hanah.
Okay. So let me backtrack for a second. The Gemara makes a statement. Raka l'refua avila. I want to know.
What governs the bracha, the refua or the ava?
Oh, okay. So Judah's starting it already. What is the significance of telling us that piece of information? That raka is the refua avila? Let me ask you a funny question. Is that a rabbi speaking or is that a pharmacist speaking? What do you mean by that? Is this a halachic statement that the reason why the bracha is shahakol is because it's the refua? Is that the goal of that line in the Gemara? Or, as Eyud already started to suggest, that is not the reason why the bracha shahakol. Why is the bracha shahakol? I don't know yet. Eyud's got some other ideas floating around why the bracha shahakol. He's probably right. That there may be other reasons why the bracha shahakol. When the Gemara tells us that piece of information, Raka l'refua avila, the Gemara is simply informing us as to why would a person be doing that? Like, what's the goal? What's it? Why would a person be making this liquidy stuff? So the answer is the pharmacist says that's the way to do it. In other words, refua avila is not of any at all significance of halacha. Refua avila is just a simple way of saying that this is why people are doing these things. Why the bracha goes down to shakal? I don't know why. Maybe there's another reason entirely. So that's a major machlekes of Rishonim, how to read Pshat. What is the Bira Davar in this Gemara? So come, I think that put the Rizv on the Mamre Kamas. The Mamre Kamas read from like 2 weeks ago, I don't remember anymore. No, I didn't put it on. Let me see, I got the Rizv on Brothers. Was it on? It was on the Rizv on Brothers. I didn't put it on 2 weeks ago, Mamre Kamas. Put the Rambam on.
And Mishnah Berurah.
That's it. Take a picture of that.
I'll read the Ritzvah. Mom said I should put it on. Laflam and Chesem and Aleph. I'll read the Ritzvah. Haba Abba Havaraka. The Ritzvah is trying to explain to us what is the significance of the difference between Av and Raka. Says the Ritzvah. Raka de la refua avila ve'ein derech la'och v'kach. What did the Ritzvah just say? It means you would never sit down and order that in a normal way. You don't walk into a restaurant and say, can I please have some raka shasisa? You would go into a pharmacy and say that, not in a restaurant. It's not normal to eat it that way. And therefore, the Ritva says, Mevar Shahako. Why? Chol achila shlo kedarka Mevar Shahako.
Even if there's no
hana? Even if there's no hana, it's garam. Chol
Do you have to have some
So again, you wouldn't normally eat it this way. There's some kind of hanok, but it's not the normal way of doing it. So what's Ritvav saying? Rabbi says, how is Ritvav learning from the Gemara Shisa Raka? Is that the pharmacist speaking or the rabbi speaking? Clearly the rabbi speaking, because the Ritvav is the rabbi. He's telling you the reason. Because the Gemara says it's l'refua, that's tantamount to saying ein derech l'och l'kach. And it's explaining to you the lumdus, why is it that any food that's eaten for medicinal purposes, if it's eaten in a way that's only medicine, that normal people don't associate with eating, that automatically goes down, says the Ritva. That's part of the regular rule of brachos. We know many, many cases in Nuchas brachos, if you do things in that normal fashion, bracha always goes down. That's like the Yadur before it's Nuchas brachos. Things that are done strange, the bracha tends to change. We didn't learn this yet, but let's say if you eat a raw potato. So you don't make a hadama, you make a shahakol. That's an abnormal way of eating potato. Let's say you eat a cooked cucumber. So you make a shahakol because that's an abnormal way of eating a cucumber. So the Ritva's linking this sugya, nachlam ches, shtisa raka, that the bracha goes down to shahakol, with the regular din of those brachas, abnormal eating goes down to a shahakol, doesn't get the unique, specific bracha that it would otherwise require.
case on Lamed Vav wasn't.
Oh, so what's going on in the Lamed Vav? No? So who's going to tell me, according to this Ritval, what is going on in the Lamed Vav?
If it was just oil, it would be shocked.
If it was just oil, the Gemara said, remember, it's nothing, because it's Mazik Ligamri.
No, but, so...
It's Mazik Ligamri, but I'm saying it's oil with this and Nigron together.
So why? Normally the bracha should be shakal.
So, well, it's... But the Gemara said the bracha is AIDS.
No.
If it was a food, it would be shakal, right? If that's what the Gemara said.
If it hasn't gone to AIDS. Because
that becomes a zikr.
No, but he's doing it for medicine. The Gemara just did a favor. So the guy's doing it for medicine. The Gemara says, if it wouldn't be for the fact that it's medicinal, then it wouldn't have been...
But people normally eat it like that.
Oh, wait. What do you mean people normally eat it? It means not people who normally eat it.
Not people, not refuah. Right.
Oh.
It's just a different problem.
Okay. Hold on. So it comes...
Your intention is not... It's not the kavanah.
Oh, this way. Very good. Excellent. So this guy is eating because his throat hurts. There's no question about it. How do I know this guy's eating because his throat hurts? Because otherwise it wouldn't be the one. Otherwise the olive oil wouldn't be the...
Iker.
Wouldn't be the Iker. So this particular guy is for sure eating because his throat hurts. Eloa. So as Noam says correctly, since Lemaisa objectively, people look at this mixture of Enigma and Shem and Zayas, and they don't say that, oh, this guy's for sure sick. No normal sane person. This is on the menu. This is an option in a normal restaurant. You could have a Negron and Shem and Zayis together. Since it's possible, normal people do this, therefore, it's not subject to that rule in Daf Lamed Ches that the Ritva developed, that anything that's Derech Rifua is automatically Shal Derech Rechila. Not true. If it's objectively only Derech Rifua and Derech Rechila, then it gets a Shakal. If it's objectively either one, and you subjectively decided to have it as refuah, that's going to alter the regular rules of Ikar v'Tofel, and it's going to point the direction of the medicinal part being the Ikar, but since it's objectively Meichel Briyim, therefore the bracha will not shoot down to Shahakal. How did the Ritva know that this olive oil is Meichel Briyim, so to speak? How do you know that?
You just said it
in what context? Not in a chazan. Where did the Gemara say that it's normal for healthy people also to eat it?
Just on the bottom of the
Amigo.
On the top of the Gemara, it said it. What did the Gemara say? The Gabi, what halacha?
Iker in the top.
The Gabi, Hilchas Shabbos. Because the Gemara put it in Braisa. The Gemara says, Hilchas give a Chosh Negrono. And what does it say about Chosh Negrono? The guy's throat hurts. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to just drink oil, because that's Dika, that is Lerafua. Anyone sees you drinking oil, that's crazy. No one would do that normally. But, why is that mutter? Because it's Meichel Briyim. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that any time you take something that can be Meichel Briyim, even though your agenda is Lerafua, say, my throat hurts. I take a high cup of tea on Shabbos. That's the Gemara. That's okay. Why? Because healthy people also have hot tea on Shabbos. So any time that I personally am doing a little food, that doesn't spell a problem in Ruchos Shabbos. So from the fact that the Gemara said that the Negron is mutter on Shabbos, the Negron Shem is mutter, that's a dead giveaway that it's not just for food. It is objectively potentially Meichel Briyim, and therefore the Bracha Taka remains. So in all the dust settles, according to the Ritva, there are a few factors you have to take into consideration. If you have a food that's only in B'Torah Sufua, then yes, there's a bracha, but no, you don't get a specific bracha, it goes down to Shachal. And that's Sisa Daf Lamed Ches. If you have something that can go either way, so then we should follow whatever the rules of Ikar v'Tofel are. So the normal rules of Ikar v'Tofel would follow Rov. But if your personal agenda is Lerfua, and the mead part is the medicinal part, that's going to change the rules of Ikar v'Tofel in your favor. So that's how the Ritva learned the two sugyas between Lamed Vav and Lamed Ches.
Diol-like concept, that the only thing that's warranting a bracha in the first place here is Meichel Briyim.
Is it right?
Would normally be a shakal.
Yeah, that's right. I guess Diol's good in Bava Kama, but yeah. not going to work. I hear what you're saying. It's almost like an internal contradiction. I hear it. The Rabbi say, is there another option in this Gemara? Is there another way to limp shot in this Gemara? The difference between Lamed Vav and Lamed Ches. He was starting to allude to this before. Is there another way to limp shot?
The Raka.
Huh?
Maybe the Raka?
That means Raka. What about Raka? Raka.
Not focusing on the
Raka.
Like
Aaron was saying, we're going down the wrong road. We're going down the wrong road. We said the reason why Raka gets Shahakal has nothing with Rafua. Rafua doesn't change the Raka. Q is that. You recite the same old bracha, bracha protos, the regular bracha, whatever, zaynus, ha'etz, whatever it is, even if it's in totally completely refuah by everybody under the sun. And daf lamed ches, it was simply the pharmacist informing you that the right way, the right method of having a shtisa, if you want to get better, is to have a shtisa racha. Why is it shakal? For a different reason. What is that reason? What's that mysterious reason that it's shakal? Have any idea? What is it about shtisa racha that could warrant a shakal?
Needed a drink.
Oh. So comes Tosas and daf lamed ches and aleph. Bottom toast of the Flamed Chesem and Aleph. So toast is the... So toast is raises the following question, fascinating question. What is the correct bracha to make, believe it or not, on beer? What is a bracha on beer? Now, the Gemara is not going to talk about this topic. I'll tell you why. Because in the days of the Gemara, they did not have barley beer. You know what beer was? The Gemara speaks about sheikha, but you know what the sheikha was? What?
Date beer.
It was all date beer, fruit beer. It was all fruit beer. Barley beer is a European invention, to the best of my knowledge. It definitely became proliferated in the days in the Middle Ages. It's actually a fascinating, there's a Ramah that quotes a fascinating opinion from Rishonim. The Gemara says in the second break of the Masechet Avodazara that... you're not supposed to drink beer together with goyim. You have what's called the mishtos akam. Even though all the ingredients are kosher, it's not wine. It's time to go to a place where goyim is sitting around and drinking, saying, I'll drink together with them, sheikha. The Gemara says you can take the beer away. You can take it, go to their store, take it home and drink it in your own house. That wouldn't be included in the yisur. But there's a specialist at the Rabban of drinking in a hangout together with non-Jews. That's the yisur of sheikha akam, the mishtos akam. So... the Ramah quotes from Mordechai, and it says that Eilon Mechadish Gezeres Mitzvahinu. That we don't have to be Mechadish new things. Chazal asked Sheikhar, but the only Sheikhar that existed in Ban Chazal was fruit beer. So next time you go and get together to drink fruit beer, you should enjoy them. Again, ready to drink a barley beer, which is my limited knowledge of the brewery world today. I think all beers today are. Am I correct? All beers are barley? Okay, so the best of my knowledge is that from Budweiser to Heineken or whatever, or Miller's, whatever. I'm trying to remember all the commercials from my baseball days. So the bottom line is they're all barley beer. And barley beer, the Rambam quotes, didn't exist as Ban Chazal. So we don't have to make new Isurim Derabbanan.
Isn't that Dafka White? That's Dafka, the one example by Pesachim, the only.
Sheikh Ahmad, they had a barley in it. Maybe that wasn't a common, maybe it was only Ahmad they had. I don't remember anymore. But the normal Sheikh was not that. The Gemara speaks in Pesachim about date beer. That seems to have been the norm.
But Chalal, the beer was a chiddush anyway. The whole Gemara that says, Mibnai Asru, Sheikh Ashul Gayim, was a chiddush in itself because beer wasn't so.
When's
so
popular? Right. The mice in the days of Tanoim, the Denisalan, even Asad, it was a later Tekwan, right? So whatever it is, the bottom line is that the beer of Chazal was probably for the most part not the barley beer that we're familiar with today. So Tosfos, who was already drinking barley beer in the days of Rishonim, so they wanted to know, hey, wait a second. So what's going on? He said, how come we don't make mizonos on beer? Because after all, we have a rule that whatever has chamashis bin adoga, whatever has five species of grain, as long as it's there for taste. If it's there just as a binder or something, let's say you have a piece of gefilte fish, if that's a matzah bill, you don't make mizonos on it. But if you have anything that's there that give any taste, so then you make mizonos. So you should make mizonos on beer. So different Rishonim have different answers to this question. So one of the answers Tosfos gives is in the bottom of the Chesem and Aleph, is that when we come off of it, it's in the bottom Tosfos, the first line is boy. It's about 10 lines or so into the Tosfos. When we come off of lo yivarech al shachol, kevin shemen shen osi lisod kiyam lishtos. He said, whatever is there just to drink, so drinks are different. If you can cold dove sheish bo chmesh tzaminim, ve'enu asi lisel kim lishtos, kugon sheicha v'chayotzi bo, v'vach shehachol. Finished. That's it. Drinks, get shehachol. Adkan. Even though based on the regular rules of mizonos, they shouldn't have mizonos, that's the way it is. Drinks, get shehachol. So Rabbi Yonah says that what's the source of this idea that drinks get shakal? What's the answer? This Gemara, Shasisa. When the Gemara says shesisa racha, it doesn't just mean that it was a you know, soft texture. It means it was a drink, it was a liquid, it was a beverage. And as a beverage, so it gets shahakol by definition. If that's the case, then there's no steer with the Lama Bracha. The Gemara never said anything about refuah going down to any bracha. Refuahs get the regular bracha, whatever they were. The only reason why shesisa gets shahakol is for a technical reason that drinks always get shahakol. So that's a whole different approach in the show.
So what, this is more of like a soup?
I didn't say a soup was a drink. So
no, it's the same. No, what is the case that we're talking
but
about?
What is the shasisa?
No,
the shasisa is food. It's
not shasisa.
It's the enigma. It's mixed together. You're eating as a food.
You're eating, it's solid or it's...
I don't know if it's solid or you're eating as a food. You're taking it with a spoon or whatever you're eating it. But
the olive oil was, I guess, that's what he's saying. The olive oil, the enigma.
It was a liquid. Then it would get. That's right. So you have a very, very fine line between foods and drinks. And according to this Tosfos and this Rabbeinu Yoni, that's exactly what this Gemara is talking about. That the Sugi Bashasisa was misleading us. It's nothing to do with refuah versus not refuah. It has to do with foods versus drinks. So I remember when I was at Talmud back in Karamiyafna. So they used to serve us oatmeal or farina or something that resembled that in the mornings, on some good mornings. So every once in a while, the posek would walk into the kitchen, and he would come out with the following announcement: "Said that Hayom Bracha Shachol." They usually depended on how much water there was to. So I never thought that I would ever see the day or hear again that Shaila had left Kiryat Yamna for quite some time. But believe it or not, that Shaila was nischadish to me again last. It was either Monday night or Tuesday night. It was last Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. Last Monday night, right. That was last Monday night. It was the Chadash for the decision, and not because I was at Kiryat Yamna. It happened to be Kiryat Yamna on Tuesday. It was just a little bit humorous that it was the same day that I returned back to Kiryat Yamna, but it wasn't in Kiryat Yamna. It was at one of my wife's cousins. I went for...
After Levittar. After
Levittar, yes. It was between Levittar and then somewhere else. And I was on the run. I had already eaten supper. I was running to go say a shit somewhere else. I popped in there for a couple of minutes. And they said, oh, sit down.
Have some
shisisa. So they said to me, say, come, mash. Well, what's the Hebrew word for oatmeal? I said, kvaka. What are they called?
Mount Daisa?
So they said dice, but then they said Quaker. They said Quaker. They were saying kvaka. So they said to me, there's a Daisa, and Tom says, a kvaka. So I figured out kvaka, something Quakers or something like that. Okay, so she filled up a cup with, it had some oatmeal floating around it, and there's some other things floating around it. It happened to be delicious. It wasn't really oatmeal. I can't tell you what it was. But my latest asafik began when they put it down in a cup, and then they put a spoon next to it. And thus, my memories of Kim Yavna came back. So I was thinking to myself, is this a drink? Or is this a food? Nafkamina for dais and brach, naflam chesam now. So the first thing to say, if you eat it with a spoon, if it looks like a kvaka, I'm saying kvaka, 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 it's a kvaka. Good luck. I saw that coming. I had that planned, but I saw it coming. Okay. So I was thinking back and forth. I couldn't bring my heart to tell it. I think it's a suffering brach. I was looking at it. I said, this is going to, I don't know if I have time to eat it with a spoon. I'm going to drink it down. I'm going to make a shakal on it. Okay? So I made a shakal on it. Again, it hadn't been very good. It wasn't just water and oatmeal. It was some other stuff floating around. And it was really very good. So I was drinking it. And then it got to the bottom. And I saw there was like a lot of stuff that, like, you know, sunk to the bottom. And then they said, well, the chams and kapit. So then another suffering process. Then the post can talk about if you make a bracha, something is the stuff in the bottom, maybe the top fell and it can come again. But then it was time to go. So anyway, so that was the shasista come to life.
If you
have
like a cookie dough milkshake.
Oh, very good. Oh, what do you kids just say? Who asked me? Was it Rocky who asked me about cookie dough? Somebody, one of the kids on Sunday morning.
As I know.
One of the kids on Sunday morning asked me about cookie dough. What bracha to make on, cookie dough. So cookie dough, yeah, it's a shachol anyway. Because it's dope. It's not really baked. Right? Am I right?
Well,
it's raw.
That's when you use salad and you put croutons. So now croutons are a mozi.
That's a whole nother. Everything is food. I'm talking still doing drinks. It's still the drinks.
But then you get to the bottom. Like, you don't notice it. It says crunch. But then you get to the bottom and all you left is
you probably should have been a motzi or a mezonos in the beginning also. But we'll get. So if you have other drinks, sometimes you have drinks that are not just, is that the real cookie dough? So as you have, you don't really
cookies,
need cookies. You mean cookies.
Or like a Oreo
cookie. Cream milkshake, right, that's what you mean. Right. You mean a cookies and cream milkshake.
And then you get a spoon. And you have to,
forget about a spoon, what about the drink itself? The drink of the milkshake itself. So if you hold like places that drinks are all shackle and finished and shackle, but not everyone agrees to this toast. I mean, it gets like the toast. I can't say we make brothers and beer. Those people who drink beer make shakala beer, and those people who drink cookies and cream milkshakes make shakala them also. They want to be at the very end that you get a whole good geschmack, cookies at the bottom of brachy to make a net. Okay? I remember somebody once asked me, after Pesach, that they bought a mistake, they bought ice cream in a store that hadn't sold its chametz, like 100%, one of these shaky mechiras chametzes. So they said to me, we just bought ice cream, so after Pesach, so is it a problem, chametz lo Pesach? So I said, ice cream, kinyah, what's possibly wrong with it? I said, oh, good, Baruch Hashem. Then I guess I asked at the end, I said, what flavor was it? It says, cookies and cream. the only chametz come with their rice, the only chiyuv karetz. Okay, good. Okay, back to that story. So we have a major machlekes rishonim about how to read the Gemara's Lama Chova. That's what the answer to their parents' theory is, with a couple of nafkaminis ladina. One nafkamin ladina levin, is there this cloud that drinks all your charcoal? And number two, is there a cloud that medicines or medicinal kinds of foods, if they're really truly objectively, for medicinal purposes, they automatically get a charcoal or not? But I want to move now on towards the second half of the sugya, relating to medicines, and that's the following question. What if a person is taking a medicine, and if the medicine doesn't taste good, so then there's no bracha whatsoever, you know, chaych also. But if it tastes good, it tastes very, very good, it's just one small technical problem. That is not to be kosher. And again, assuming that the person is justified in eating it, what would it then be? So, when a person is taking things for medicine, the fact that it's medicine, sets a machlokes rishonim, does it go down to shakal, does it remain the same? But there is a bracha on good tasting medicine. If I have a good tasting kosher medicine, then it would make a bracha. But what about a good tasting non kosher medicine? Would that be appropriate to recite a bracha then, or not? So that touches on a much more global question of his brachas about, forget about medicine for a second, making brachas for non kosher food. What would the din be? So let's take a look at where that part of the sugya is going to take us. And that actually starts at the beginning of the seventh verse. The very famous Mishnah. First Mishnah, the seventh verse of Brachos. The Mishnah starts out with the first Mishnah, the beginning of the seventh verse. Shlosha, Nemhem, and Aleph. Shlosha, Shachim, Kiachas, Chayam, Lezamen. Three people meet together, they have to bench for Dimon. Ochol, Demai, Maiser, Risha, Shidot, Shumasa, Maiser, Shemit, Shiniftu. The Mishnah gives you a whole bunch of things that are almost treif, but not quite. Okay. I would have thought you couldn't eat, but lamaisa you're allowed to eat. So since you're allowed to eat, these things are all basically kosher. Therefore, the din is bezamen alav. But the Mishnah says, in contrast, the fourth line of the Mishnah, achol tevel, maaser shonit trumaso, maaser shenit shlovu. If you eat something that trumas and maasers weren't taken off properly, or the maasers weren't redeemed properly, or trumas maaser wasn't taken off, bottom line is you ate treif of food. That's the bottom line. So the Mishnah says, ein bezamen alav. That such a person who ate treif of food cannot join as part of the zimun. So you have two people eating kosher with one person eating tevel or something, they cannot bench for mezuzah. Most kids, their first exposure to tevel and trumas and maasers to this Mishnah, because they usually learn this in a third grade, fourth grade, some Shabbos group or something, it's like the first time that they meet into this whole all the mitzvah place Lawrence. So the question becomes, why can't I bench? Guy ate treif? Okay, ate treif. Chatos yavis v'shatu, why can't I bench? What's the problem? So they put in the Mamma comes to Rambam. They put in the okay, so the Rambam, I should get Rambam's brachas.
Enough
on
the 15th.
What?
It's email from December 15th.
What wrong is it? What's
right? I'll re-forward it in case anyone needs it.
I'll
test. It should come soon.
But Avalach Yudkas, right? Okay. Let's read this Rambam together. It says the Rambam, Kol Eichel Davar Asur. First, to eat something not kosher, Bein Bezodon, Bein Beshkogel, whether he does it intentionally or unintentionally. Einam Avarchalav, there's no Brachalav, B'chilav, L'Besef. So you don't make a bracha before, you don't make a bracha afterwards. Ketzad, harei she'ochal tevel, afil tevel de divreim, even if it's only tevel midirabonim. O she'ochal ma'isa risha from the kol trumosav, or if he ate ma'isa risha on the part of the levi that the other trumos weren't taken off of. O ma'isa she'ni v'hekdesh lo nitzv kil chasim, or if you have ma'isa she'ni or a dummy that belongs to ma'isa mikdash that wasn't redeemed properly. And all the above, eino mevarech, so one does not eat, one does not recite brachas. Ein tzach lomar, it's not even necessary to say, v'ochol nevelus v'treif, as a shosi yayin neschi, it's when a guy eats treif, he drinks treif for wine, he eats treif for meat, so for sure, there would be no bracha neither before nor at the end. So where did the Rambam get it from? It's pretty obvious, he got it right out of our Mishnah. The Rambam quotes from the cases of the Mishnah, it's obvious the Rambam learned that the reason why you don't bench from a zuman with such a fellow was for a very simple reason, because that fellow does not control together. It means you can't bench from a zuman unless the guy's benching. The guy's not obligated to bench because he's just not allowed to bench and trade for food. So obviously that's the reason why he can't bench from a zuman. So comes the Ravid and says that this is not correct. The Ravid says that the fundamental way the Rambam read the Mishnah is not correct. Says the Ravid, Om Avram, Tabuz et Toz Gedoyla. There's a big mistake, not a little mistake, a big mistake around there. Shelo Amru Ein Mevarchim, the Mishnah and Daf Mem Hei, where the Rambam is clearly quoting, does not say boo, doesn't say a word about not benching. Ela She'ein Mezamnen Aleihem. All the Mishnah says that you can't join for Zimun. Just because you can't join for Zimun, that means you don't bench? Mapitom. If the Mishnah meant to say don't bench, it would have said you don't bench. So what does the Mishnah mean? Loimar She'ein Lehen Kvius Lezimun. What it means is that in order to bench for Mizuman, you have to have a kviyas, you have to have three people sitting down having a za'a meal together. If one guy out the door, one guy over here, one guy running into the star, that's not a zimun. Shloshachl ke'echad, chayom lezam. It's got to be a derech kviyas. Hova ochlen davar osur, and people are sitting down eating treifos, that's not kviyas. That's not, kviyas means not just physically kviyas, it means it has to be halachli kviyas. Who ke'ein achilas peirush eilen kevel zimun. It's almost like three guys sitting down eating apples together. So you don't say, oh, three guys ate apples, they should bench mezuman, rebuk se nevarech, No, that's not called the derech achilas keva. Aval brachat chil besov, lama yavarech, lama yavarech, hove nenu. What are you not making a bracha for? Why in the world don't you make a bracha? So you didn't have air. Chatas avisa b'shat, they didn't have air. But meis b'shat, whatever it is, fatachas, why don't you make a bracha? Bein b'chil, bein b'sov. So major machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, what is b'shat in this Mishnah? On Daf Mem Hei. The Mishnah says that eating treifas carries with it the din that you don't bench mezuzah. According to the Rambam, you don't bench mezuzah because you don't bench altogether. And according to the Rambam, Mapitom, of course you bench. It's just that you don't bench mezuzah because it's a lack of achilas keva. Where does machlokes emanate from? If you take a look at the Mishnah really could go either way. So where is the source of this machlokes from? And why, according to the Rambam, should there be such a din? What's the base? The Machar, the Rambam is right. I don't know if I call it Tos Gedola. It's a Tema Gedola. Why should there be such a din that you don't make a bracha? Just because you didn't have age, because you ate treifa, why not bracha? So there is a sugyo in Bava Kama. Anyone get the latest email from Bava Kama alone? No? Okay, I don't. So we're going to come to the beginning of the ninth barak. Here's the barak of Israel 8 soon. Find it. On Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. So just a little bit of a background. This is really a Bava Kama topic. The little brachas get snuck into the study. Dalet Bava Kama, it's really a Bava Kama topic. It's talking about the din of shinui kona, shinui eno kona by gezela. The law is, let's say, Reuben steals wood. He turns the wood into a piece of furniture. So now, how exactly is he, what does he have to return? Well, on the one hand, his mitzvah heishu is a gezela shagozal. On the other hand, what he stole is not really around anymore. It's not the same object anymore. So there's a big machlokes at Tanoim. So some Tanoim said that shinui is kona. Shinui kona means, we spoke about this a little bit in the past, shinui kona means that the gazlan gets to keep the furniture, but he has to pay back the value of the wood at the time of the theft. So called gazlan mishamak shasa gezela. That's the opinion that says shinui kona. So we pass in. And the other time it says no, shinui eno kona. And it still belongs, that object itself, the furniture is the same as the wood, it still belongs to the nigzal, and you have to return that piece itself. So it's not like it's not tanoim. So Gemara is trying to collect different tanoim who subscribe to the idea that perhaps Shini is Eino Kaina. The majority of the Tanaim hold Shini is Kaina, but the few of the Gemara thought maybe hold Shini is not Kaina. So the Gemara dug up one possible Tana, and that's Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov. So it's the top of Tzadi Dalam and Aleph. It's the first word lot is he, it's about 10 lines from the top. The sign Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov. Haresha Gozo So Shochitin. A fellow stole a certain measurement of wheat. Tochana, he grinds up this wheat that he stole. Losha, he kneads it. The afar, and he bakes it. Hifish, and chala, and he's mafish chala from it. So he's doing everything that he should be doing, except the fact that he stole the wheat in the first place. He's being mafish chala from it, which is a whole major, major question. How can you be mafish chala from something that you don't own? Isn't there a halacha called the Rishon Seichem? They have to own the dough. It's very whole another complicated shaila. But the bottom line is, the fellow, he ground up the stuff, he ground it, he kneaded it, he baked it, he mafish chala, everything's gevaldik. Then the bride says, Keitzim mevarch. Now what bracha is he going to make? Now what bracha is he going to make on what? So it's not clear, is the Gemara talking about what bracha should he make on the Afreshes Challah? Or what bracha should he make now that he has kosher bread in front of him? What bracha should he make on Hamotzi? Should he make on Hamotzi? So it's not clear 100%. What's the bracha that the Gemara is addressing? But one of the two brachas, Ketzim Mevarech. So comes the Bryce and says, Oyoyoy, Ein Zem Mevarech El Menayitz. To recite a bracha on stolen goods, geval, terrible. That's not a bracha, that's a niyot, that's blasphemous to Rabban Shalom. Such a person, but says a loshen, but says a loshen gezeila, like mabetzak, you know, like a voluntary gain. A person who steals and makes a bracha, it's a niyot, it's a nebuch, it's a gichir, forgidif HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't debate Gemara. So Gemara thought over here that it must be that this town of Lesbian Yaakov must subscribe to the view that Shini ain't a Kona, because if he held that Shini is really Kona, so then it's not really Gnei anymore. It belongs to him. Once he did what? Once he ground it up and he kneaded it, he baked it, so maybe Shini, it underwent already 15 different Shinuyim. So if he really held that Shini Kona, then it would talk be okay what he's doing. He's allowed to make a bracha. He owes the guy cash, but the Chefs itself really belongs to him. So the Gemara thought that Rabbi Lesbian Yaakov subscribes to the view Shini Kona, then the Gemara backs down the bomb a little bit out. Maybe there's another way of reading Rabbi Lesbian Yaakov. Again, we're not learning the Baba Kama part. We want to extract Lilch's bracha's part. So what did the Gemara just say? The Gemara just gave us a key to the Rambam, right? The Gemara said that a person who recites a bracha in the context of an aveira, true, the aveira that tzadidal is an aveira of gezeila, and the aveira that memhei bracha is an aveira of machos asuros, but the common denominator is that you're doing something wrong. So maybe that's the reason why you can't make a bracha, says the Rambam, because that bracha is not a bracha. It's going to be a nius. It's going to be worse than a bracha matos. It's going to be a blasphemous to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe the Rambam got it from this Gemara. That just as this Gemara says, ain't Kate's in the Varech, ain't in the Varech, it's Kaval, I can make such a bracha. You can't make such a bracha. So maybe the reason is because that's not a shame bracha, it's a shame nius on it. And that's the reason only why you don't make a bracha on Dafnim Hay in Agav Yechilas Tevel. Maybe it's not Shah in the Ram.
In other words, Shkag,
right, 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 right. I mean, at the end of the day, you did an Aveira, it's an Aveira. It's still called the Maisa Aveira, albeit Peshogi, right? You're right.
You could have a case where it's not an Aveira, where it's a mitzvah.
Oh, wait, we didn't get, this is all the introduction to the Rafua case, okay? So again, we're talking about a guy who really did something wrong. He's amazing or Peshogi. Either the guy, you know, Phil's such a obvious Russell Lam, it's Chosin Klai, so you want to have the guy's a Shergi. He goes into Burger King, he thought it was a kosher restaurant, he eats his treif, a hamburger, just everything's treif, and then all of a sudden he's about to bench, and he goes, oh my goodness, what am I doing in Burger King? I thought I was in Dougie's. And then, what am I supposed to do? He opens up Ram, is up. Peshogi, you don't bench. Why? Ain't the Baruch HaMedayitz. So one could have argued that, no, such a guy, never chatasi v'spashat, that's not so bad. But the Rambam, maybe the Gemara is talking about a guy who goes into Burger King, knowing he's Burger King, he eats it, mamish, l'shem aveiros eating treif, and then afterwards he realizes, oh yeah, yeah, what did I do? Oh yeah, yeah, I remember the Mashkiach and Yeshiva told me I shouldn't eat treif. Oh yeah, I want to go to tshuva. The first thing I'm going to do is start the bench for the Zahas Lamos. And then he realizes, no, the Rambam says you can't bench because it ain't the Baruch HaMinayim. So the nice thing, the Rambam spoke about both cases. The Rambam says, Bein B'shem, Bein B'mezid, you're not allowed to bench, don't make brach, etc. So maybe this is the Gemara that I'm got it from. Ain't the Baruch HaMinayim. Could one read this Gemara radically different than the way we just read it? Mamish radically different. You know, Kotzel or Kotzel different. Keitzer Bevarach, Ein Zevarach Al-Minayitz. So I translated the Gemara to mean, how you make a bracha? You can't make a bracha. It's a bracha of Neo. It's terrible. Don't make the bracha. Can you read a different one? The Gemara is not passing in Shaila. There's not a Pesach talking, there's Mashkech and Nishim talking.
What bracha?
You're saying, Nebuch, what a bracha. Nebuch, this is a bracha to the Menashel. Oh, you Russia, you Mushkos, you Menuvel. You can make a bracha on the stolen food. What a terrible thing you're going to do. Are you going to make a bracha? Of course you're going to make a bracha. Why? Because the din is, it's a regular thing. So you have to make a bracha before you eat. But you're not, just because you're a Ghana, you know. I'm a from Ghana. I'm not from Ghana. I make a bracha. So Ein Zeh Mevarach Al-Minayitz, is this a Pesach talking? And saying, before we had a shalom, it's a rabbi or the pharmacist. Now, they're both rabbanim. I'm just not sure what's the Pesach or the Mashgiach. So is it the Pesach saying, the Rambam, it's a Psach Halacha, Ein Zeh Mevarach Al-Minayitz, don't you dare make a bracha. It's not going to be Chalal Hashem bracha. It's going to be Chalal Hashem Niyot. Or do I say no? This is the Mashgiach crying. His arm around, oh, you're Nebuch, how'd you sink so low that you stole something? And now you're going to have to make a bracha on this. And of course you have to make a bracha. The Pesach, the Paschal, you have to make a bracha. But this is such a terrible thing. What a tzad is going to bring to the Baruch Shalom. Aids of the Baruch Shalom. But Tachlis, of course you have to make a bracha. So the Rishonim quote both Shalom.
How are you going to prove from there that ancient Kona?
Because if you held that Shinis Kona,
there's
nothing.
It's still terrible.
I did something wrong. No, I did that. I did the Avera last week already. The Avera is over already. The whole Shinikai, it's Bam Shemai. So, the bottom line is the Rishonim quote both of these problems. There are two different ways to read this Gemara. The Rambam read the Gemara through one set of eyes, and the Rabbi read through the other set of eyes. So, when all the dust settles, we have two statements of Chazal about this topic. We're just not sure what either one of those statements means. We have a Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei that says, for sure you don't bench Mezumim and Itre. That everyone agrees to. No benching Mezumim when Itre. Give it. And then you have on Daf Tzadi Dalet. That ain't the Mevarach Al-Minayitz. But we have no idea whether the Mishnah meant the Daf Mem Hei brachas, no bench Mezumim because no brachas altogether, that's the Rambam's view. Or no bench Mezumim because it's not Kriyas like the Rambam. And it's the same Achlekes for Shittasam, we have no idea what the Gemara is saying here. Is the Gemara saying, don't make a bracha to Niels? Is the Gemara saying, Nebuch, you have to make the bracha even though it's such a not a very pretty looking bracha. So this whole discussion is the background to the Shaila and the Rishonim. If a person eats tray of food for medicinal purposes, i.e. justified medicinal purposes, i.e. is a chalashesh v'sakana. If a fellow is a chalashesh v'sakana, and the doctor says to him, you gotta eat trefa food, or you gotta take trefa medicine that tastes really great, and now he's sitting there with the trefas in front of him, and now he's telling you this shaila. Rambam, what do I do? Rambam, doctor. He says, tell me, Medina Rabbeinu, do I make a bracha on the tray for food or not? Now, if it is the kasha to the rabbi, would say, well, why do you make a bracha? It's a shah. The rabbi says, even if you're not a chayla, you make a bracha. But according to the Rambam, who says, normally we apply the rule of Ein Zeh Mevarach Al-Minayitz, Ein Mevarach Al-Tavel means, because Ein Mevarach Al-Tavel, should we differentiate between a case of when an issur is done, even in Phil's case, albeit b'shayyeh, but an issur is done, in contrast to a case of Mikloch Nebesh, there's no issur b'chlal. So there's no Esnav Echlal, what shaykh to say the guy can't make a rush? Because the halacha says b'chai b'hem. I had a feeling, I knew a doctor. Okay, that's the doctor way of thinking things. Okay, we'll get that, we'll get to it in a second, or by next week. Maybe.
Also, if are we talking about tarfas while eating on your kippur?
So he'll just jump the gun.
It's the same thing.
Is it all the same thing? Is it?
Well, I mean, based on the sugya, it seems like it's not a din in the chatzah.
It's not in the chatzah. It could be even a din in the gapper. Okay, so we have a lot of things flying around now. So the background, again, we had really two different parts of sugya that's converging. The first half of the sugya today was, what bracha, if any, on medical kinds of eating/medicinal kinds of things. So we saw Stephen Gemara, Machlekes Ritva, and Rabbeinu Yoina about what the bottom line is. Then we moved out of the realm of kosher ingredients into all these shadows become even more complicated through the introduction of trefa ingredients. Does that change anything? So within the worldview of the rabbi, it's a moot question. It's going to arrive even trefa food, but amazing gummy. The guy ate mamash a cheeseburger with the works. He's still mechuyav to bench. But according to the view of the Rambam, that we generally do follow the Rambam in this, and Shulchan Aruch says not to make brachos on trefa foods. So now the question becomes, what would we say about doing a derech pekuach nefesh? Would that change anything or not? So we have a lot of things to work out of that. We have to work out, is this a Hilchos Brachos topic that we're about to embark upon? Is this more of a global, more general Pikuach Nefesh topic, which could impact, of course, many, many important things, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, etc.? Is the answer to that question, vis-a-vis Varma Asurim, in terms of Chatzos, necessarily going to be the same as the Gabi Yom Kippur? That's also an important akuta that some Rishonim, some later folks can already raise also. So we have a lot of work cut out for us in terms of the second half of the Sukkah, from next week. We'll try to pick up from that.